Is here. Our hearts are well positioned and aligned to receive. Thank you for light in your word that lights up and floods every mind and every heart. Thank you for testimonies that are bound to us because your power is working in our lives, working in our ministries, working in our bodies, working in our families, working in our situations, working in our circumstances, working in all conditions in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, O God, because our minds and our hearts are touched, changed, and transformed by your word and by the power of your spirit. Thank you, because no one on the sound of my voice lives here the same. Rather, we all live better with more fire. Thank you for our devotion to you. Prayer, praise, in thanksgiving, in Bible reading, meditating, and the practicing of the same, and in the preaching and teaching of the very same. Thank you, O God, because your power attends to our service to you, and the fire is renewed every day and never goes out in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name, and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, one more song before you sit down. I'm grateful for. God help me. Redemption. I'm grateful for redemption. Greet one another.
I'm grateful that Jesus died.
It's good to see you.
Save my soul.
Welcome to church. How you doing? Glad you came.
I'm grateful for his life. I'm grateful for his spirit.
Yes, be a grateful word.
I'm grateful that I belong to the family of God.
This is all. So I greet everybody.
This is home.
Yes.
This is family.
Oh, I belong
to the family of God. This is home.
This is home.
This is family.
Oh, I belong
to the family of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, confidence in prayer. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5 and 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hear us. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Amen? Amen. Okay, the previous verse says these things, verse 13, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, hallelujah, that ye have eternal life. Say, I have eternal life. Hallelujah. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, I've taught you that, but that statement was repeated as against how do I continue what I'm saying now? As against how it is, right, in the Greek Bible. It's only found once in the Greek Bible. So just believe. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm writing to those who believe on the name of the Son of God, that they may know that they have eternal life. Full stop. Amen. Praise the Lord. I say, I write to you that believe, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So it was repeated. If you check Greek Bible, you would only find it written once. Amen. And it's important to know that your Christian journey must lead to daily awareness. Or, I actually wanted to say must lead to awareness. And it must be daily awareness, a consciousness. Okay, it's a fact that you have eternal life, but you ought to increase in awareness of the fact that you have eternal life. Say, I have eternal life. Hallelujah. Say, I have everlasting life. Life as it is in the Father. Hallelujah. Say, I have the Son. Life is in the Son. And therefore, I have life. Say, life is in the Son. I have the Son. Therefore, I have life. Say, I have eternal life. The same life in the Father is in me. Hallelujah. The same life in the Father is in me. Hallelujah. Say, the same life in the Father is in me. I have for a fact eternal life right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Say, I have eternal life. I have eternal life. The life of God is at work in me right now. Say, I have eternal life. Say, I've been raised from dead to life. I've been raised from death to life. I am alive unto God. I am alive unto God. I have eternal life. I am conscious of the realm that I live. I have been raised from the dead, and I have been made to sit at the right hand of God. I have eternal life. I am not dead to the Father. I am not unconscious. I am alive. 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 I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Praise God. Amen. You need to preach yourself happy a lot of times. Praise the Lord. I can see, I can hear. That's what people that are alive do. I see, I hear, I perceive. Praise the Lord. I know the presence of God. I know the power of God. Because I'm alive. Praise the Lord. I'm open to visions and revelations because I'm alive. Yeah. Seeing and knowing is not far from me. It's a daily experience. Yeah, I can speak God's word. I can speak supernaturally because I'm alive. Glory to God.
I'm alive unto God. There's life walking in me. There's life walking now. There's life walking here now. There's life walking in me. Glory to God.
Take your seats. That you may know that you have eternal life. It's a fact that you have it, but you have the responsibility of consciousness. You have that responsibility. You've got to know. You've got to be aware. You know, the prophet Agabus, in Acts 21, I believe, at Philip's territory, and then he took a gado, bound his hands, and said, the owner of this gado, this is how he'll be bound, going to Rome. And then the brethren began to plead with Paul, don't go, don't go. And Paul was disappointed, as it were, with them. So, why? Why you speak like this? The Holy Ghost has witnessed to me that bond and affliction await me in every city. I know. Hallelujah. I'm aware. Because the Spirit of God has told me so, has shown me that. I'm conscious of the fact. Praise the Lord. We should be conscious like that. We should be conscious like that. There must be a consciousness that you have eternal life. Hallelujah. Do I have eternal life? Glory to his name. So John writes to those that believe that they may know. You know, we can say it this way. I write unto you that have eternal life, that you may know that you have eternal life. Hallelujah. Maybe to drive home the point that way. That you may be aware that there's eternal life working in you. It's not in a bottle, on a shelf, in you, just lying dormant there. It's working. Praise the Lord. Working in your body. Working in your cells. Yeah, working in your muscles. Your ligaments, your tendon. Working in every part of your body. Your belly, your intestine, large, small. Working in your skin. Praise the Lord. Working. Working in your eyes. Working in your kidney, your liver, your heart. Working everywhere. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. The life of God is working. Praise the Lord. The life of God is working. Glory to his name. Now, in verse 14, which is our text, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, I feel the need to say this, that we must remind ourselves that the reality of our faith is in a person. Is in a person. Like we quoted earlier, which is also in 1 John chapter 5, where it says from verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know, the same John said in the Gospel of John chapter 5, and verse 39 says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you now come to me and drink that you may have life. So life is in the Son. John 7:37-39 says, on the last day of the feast, Jesus cried out and said, he that thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then 39, John says, this speaking of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. Amen. So Jesus said, there's life, or he that thirsts, rather, let him come to me and drink. As scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. When he said living water, it means water that makes alive. Glory to God. water that gives life. Water that has life to give. He had told the woman by the well in John 14, if you knew the gift of God, you will ask him to give you water. The water shall be in you a well springing forth unto everlasting life. Amen? So the presence of the Spirit of God in a man is the presence of life. Life. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us that the last Adam is a quickening spirit. A quickening spirit. A quickening spirit simply means a spirit that makes alive. A spirit that makes alive. Glory to God. First man, a living soul, last, a quickening spirit. Glory to God. Now, I said all of that to say what is needed to say in verse 14, that notice that he said this is the confidence that we have in him. Yeah, I know the title is Confidence in Prayer, praise the Lord, but you must put your attention on that fact. The confidence is in him. In the Greek Bible, it can sound like this. This is the confidence we have concerning him. That is, there's something about him that we know, that when we pray, he hears us. Praise the Lord. And we must practice a Christian faith that has confidence and builds confidence in him. In him. When I say the power of God is working in me, I refuse to be sick. I should not be bragging. I must not brag. I must not act like, it's about me. Say, I refuse to fail in life. I'm a success. I'm victorious. I live a victorious life every day. Or I say things that, you know, sound like I'm just vibing positivity. No, it's about him. Amen? It's not about saying positive things. Hallelujah. It's about him. The reason a victorious life is guaranteed is because there's victory in Christ. He's the one who causes us to triumph. He's the one. So this is the confidence that we have in him, that we have concerning him. Okay? So there must be that clear image or imagery, praise the Lord, that when we pray, we are praying to him. There's a him we are praying to. There's a personality. There's a spirit being, a supernatural being at the other side of our praying, to whom we offer prayers to. So our prayer is not, you know, some kind of formula, as it were. You know, there's a way we can tend towards that. You know, it can just look like prayer is they've made the knockout or the fireworks. Once you just go there and light it, then begin to see boo, 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 you know. So once you just press this button, press that button, answered prayers will come. There is a him, a he, that listens to our prayers. Hallelujah. The psalmist tells us that his ears are open to our cries. His ears are open. There's a he that we pray to. Praise the Lord. So when we say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we must have that consciousness that there's someone listening to me. Praise the Lord. There's someone willing to hear what I have to say. So there is a confidence that we have in him or have concerning him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So his will is to hear us. His will is to listen to what we have to say. His ears are open to our cries, our requests, our petitions, our desires. That's who he is, James 1 and 5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. In other words, James was saying, God is generous and never fault finding when men tender their request. We're not trying to say that when you sin, God will say, no, it's not a sin. No, that's not the meaning of fault finding. In that context, it had to do with asking God. And say, ask the one that when you are asking him, he's not looking for a fault to deny you your request. Does that make sense? He won't say, well, you didn't do this, and so I will not fulfill your desire. Okay? At times where we pray, are there things that God wants to say to us that will bring about our answered prayers? Yes. There are instructions to carry out. But as a matter of fact, when you pray and God gives you an instruction to carry out, that instruction is answered prayers. Praise the Lord. It's answered prayers. If you come to me and say, please, I need money. How much do you need? I need so amount. You know, I need to sort this bill and I need maybe whatever. And then I say, okay, here is what I will do. Go to my bag and take what you need there. Praise the Lord. Isn't that answered prayers? That's it. But I have not given you the money. You will then act on that instruction to go to my bag, pick the money, and you have your money. Does that make sense? So instructions can be like that. It gives us an instruction, and that is the answered prayer. When you act on it, then you see the manifestation. Amen? In Mark 11, 24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So as spiritual beings, we must get used to that reality where we're not only waiting for the manifestation to say, okay, our prayer has been answered. Yes, we can. We can wait for manifestations. It helps us. We are men. We want to see, hear, and know that God has answered us. You know, I learned that the Apostle Ayo Babalola, I don't know how you can teach prayer and not mention his name, except you're not aware of the things that he did. One of the ways they used to pray is that they will have a prayer request, then they will now put water inside the container and begin to pray. And their plan is when that water begins to boil supernaturally, then God has answered that request, then they move to another prayer. Amen. How long will you pray? It's a question to tease you and at the same time to make you reflect. All right? with your water boy. Hallelujah. That's simply a demonstration of this is the confidence we have in him. It's a demonstration of that this is the confidence we have in him. We know he hears us, so we'll make that demand as a demonstration of granted requests or answered prayers. Praise the Lord. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. It might look simple, but it's key to answered prayers. It's key to effective prayers that your confidence is in the one who hears, who listens. And it's God we're talking about. So there's no deficiency in power, right? There's no deficiency in faithfulness. Huh? So he's faithful, he's willing, he has the capacity and the ability. So you remember that when the Bible tells you he hears us. So he listens to grant our request. I'll say it again. This is the confidence we have in him. There is a supernatural being, God our Father, who listens to us when we pray. He is attentive to each of his children. Amen. So my confidence is in him. Another way to say it is my confidence is in his ability. But him, the one who has ability, the one who is faithful, the one who is willing. This is the confidence. And we looked at the word confidence, praise God. And it's the word parhesia, parhesia, a word that means all outspokenness, that is frankness, say things as they are or as they ought to be said. It also means bluntness. By implication, parhesia means assurance. So there's an assurance we have concerning him. He hears us when we ask anything. So can I ask you a question this morning? What have you asked the Father? You know, you could remind yourself, I haven't prayed, or better still, in the place of prayer, that what exactly have I asked? Okay, I haven't prayed now. What did I ask God to do? What exactly did I ask for? You know, humans can tend towards being murmurers and complainants. Make a request. You know, this life is so hard. Can you imagine one loaf of bread is now 1.7? Can you imagine this? Can you imagine that? You know, if you have a job of 50,000 naira, do you know this? Do you know that? Do you know that you can't do, you can't amount more? Do you know fees have now become, what have you asked?
They'll help me. At times, that can be sufficient request, but other times, there's a need to be specific. What have you asked? Look at John chapter 14. John 14. So we're quoting John a lot today. John 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask, same word, I tell you, in 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And whatsoever ye shall ask or ye shall desire in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So it says, ask and it shall be done. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the boldness or the assurance that we have in him, that we have concerning him, we know he hears us. That's who he is. That's what John is saying. If we desire, if we request, if we require, if we crave for or call for, anything, his will is to hear us. Amen? So that opens us to the personality of God. He's almighty, right? All-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. He's always willing to listen to the requests of his children. Now, what is the responsibility of the children? To then make requests. To then make requests. So because he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, all right, he's a faithful God, does not mean he should go about, let me just say it this way, I hope it helps. He should go about looking into your heart and doing everything without your responsibility of asking. Does that make sense? God knows that I need fresh fire. He'll give it to me. Since he knows, no, I will ask for fresh fire. I will crave for fresh fire. I will desire fresh fire. I will covet to prophesy. I will earnestly desire, and he will grant that unto me. If I want it, his will is always to grant it. Praise the Lord. Now, let's check a few places here and there and observe that word parousia.
how it is used in a few places. In John chapter 7, John 7 and verse 26, John 7, 26, but lo, he speaketh boldly. The word boldly is parousia. He spoke with boldness or assurance. He speaketh assuredly or boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? In Acts chapter 2 and 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Freely. Freely. Okay? That's the way it is used there. Parousia could also, I didn't give that to us because I wanted to narrow down on the subject prayer and what that word actually stands for in 1 John 5:14. Parousia could imply openly, freely, okay, or publicly. At times it suggests publicity. Okay? So that's you find there in Acts 4 and 13. Acts 4:13. Okay. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they saw the boldness. So there was an activity that made them see the boldness. There was a way Peter and John acted, and then they saw their boldness. Praise the Lord. They saw their boldness and perceived that they were learned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Okay, so that's a lesson there. They saw their boldness. So perhaps confidence in prayer can be seen. In same Acts 4 and 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. So that's telling you that there's a way they will speak the word. So it didn't say, grant your servants that they may speak thy word. That with all boldness. Because there's a context to that. There was persecution. That in the midst of that, rather than be discouraged or in the face of opposition, we will still speak God's word in assurance. With assurance. Amen. Okay. Acts 4:31. Again, the answer to their prayers, they speak the word of God with boldness. Parousia used there. In Acts 28:31. Acts 28:31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus with all confidence, no man forbidding him. This was talking about Paul after he had arrived Rome on his trial, and after all of that, he dwelt in a hired house and preached the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus with confidence, with boldness, with assurance, He was taken to be tried because of the kingdom of God, because of preaching Jesus. Now, having arrived Rome, he then preached Jesus with all confidence. Amen? With all confidence. So let's take 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 3 and 12. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 3:12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. The word plainness is parrhesia, which is boldness. Boldness of speech, seeing that we have such hope. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 14, 2 Corinthians 7 and 14, for I have boasted anything, for if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we speak all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. So boasting. Boast. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Okay? Boldness. You have boldness. We have boldness with confidence by the faith of him, of course, and access. In Ephesians chapter 6 and 19, Ephesians 6, 19, it says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. In Philemon 1 and 8, Philemon 1, 8, Philemon chapter 1, it was just one chapter, and verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Okay, bold in Christ. Bold in Christ to enjoin thee. Hebrews chapter 3 and 6. Hebrews 3 and 6. But Christ as the Son of His house, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Hebrews chapter 4 and 16. Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly. Okay, Hebrews 10 and 19. Hebrews 10, 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Having therefore, boldness to enter. I'm sure you've noticed that this word parrhesia describes an activity, right? Are you there? Bold to enjoin, boldness to enter, and the host of other ones that we have seen. It's describing an activity. Boldness to speak thy word.
So he suggests to us how that activity is done or carried out. Okay, let's look at a few more. Hebrews 10 and 35. Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Okay, you read that from verse 32, and then that gets into 35. So cast not away your confidence, your boldness, your assurance. First John chapter 2, 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. It says, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. We have boldness before him. We have confidence before him. First John 3:21. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. See that? If our heart condemn us, then have we confidence toward God. Let's read from verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And thereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Okay? Assure there can also mean persuade. Shall persuade our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, right? Then have we confidence toward God. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. His truth is greater. He's greater than our heart. But if our heart condemns us not, right, before him, then we are bold toward God. Does that make sense? Then we are bold toward God. 1 John 4:17. That should be the last one. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Okay? So there's a boldness, a confidence, an assurance that describes how we go about our Christian activities. And the activity we're looking at now is prayer. So there's a confidence that we ought to have in prayer. And don't forget, from the way we have seen this word used, it goes beyond just a knowing, right? Hey, are you there? So this confidence, just like the other ones, also describes how we pray. Amen? So that boldness is seen in how we pray. It reflects in how we pray. So the manner of praying or asking or desiring or requesting can show that
It is done or being done in boldness, in assurance. The way you ask showed that you were bold. The way you tendered your request showed that you were assured that you would get it, or you were free to speak. Nothing hindered your request, your asking, your petition, because you were assured that he hears you. Praise the Lord. So that assurance that God hears us now also shapes how we ask him. How we ask him. Praise the Lord. It shapes it. What do you want me to do for you? Just anything if you can help me. Are you bold about it? Yes, I'm bold. Just help me with anything. No, that's not boldness. That speech does not describe that you are bold. Hallelujah. It doesn't show. We cannot see boldness from what you have just said. Amen. So it can be a knowing, but it also describes the activity. In James 5, 16 to 18, James 5, 16 to 18, James talks about Elijah. In 16, he says, the effect of our prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, there's a way he describes the prayer of a righteous man. The Amplified says, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. The King James says, effectual, fervent, efficient, effective prayer. So there's a description to it. There are words that he used, or there's a word he used to qualify that prayer. Not just prayer, but the efficient one. The one that reflects confidence, boldness. The one that is heartfelt and continued. I know that he will grant my request. That is why it is heartfelt and it is continued. He says that prayer availeth much. That is, it makes power available. Now in verse 17, he says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. You see it again? He prayed earnestly. So he didn't just pray, but he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So he prayed, it didn't rain. He prayed, and then he rained. Now, rush up to 1 Kings. So, James just told us that Elijah prayed and then it did not rain. So, 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according
to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens, of course, brought him bread. 1 Kings 17, I'm in verse 6 now. And flesh in the morning, and then bread flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And in verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain. Amen? So James tells us from what we see here that in 1 Kings 17, which we just read, that Elijah prayed. Okay? So we can say that after God had spoken to him, the word of the Lord yet came to him to go hide himself by the brook Cherith. And we can say that it was there that he prayed. So it wasn't that God said there will be no rain, and he went to stand before Ahab to say there will be no rain, and there was no rain. No, James said that he prayed for there to be no rain. Amen? And then there was no rain, and of course, he went to the widow at Zarephath, was fed there, and then he also raised the son of the widow. And then chapter 18, 1 Kings. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the third year. Amen? I mean, it's good to read through the Bible. It came to pass after many days, only to realize that after 3 years. Amen? In the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, and Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure, you may find grass to save the horses and moves alive, that we lose not all the beasts. And of course, that was where Obadiah met Elijah, and Elijah sent him to the king. And Obadiah said, ah, you that I've been looking for, so I will now be the one to say I found you, and then I will be, okay? So all of that transpired. Then, of course, you find in verse 14, and now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here and shall slay me, and so on and so forth. So all of that happened. Then Elijah then confronted the prophets of Baal. From verse 20, 1 Kings chapter 18, from verse 20 all the way to 40. So we'll just read here and there. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Of course, prophets are those inspired to speak, and it depends on what is inspiring. So in this case, if you have prophets of Baal, then it was Baal that was inspiring these prophets.
And the people seemed to follow. So Elijah spoke to them. Then said Elijah, verse 22, unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 440 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks and all of that. It says, and I will dress it and other bullocks. And verse 24, and call ye on the name of your God. So he called on the prophets of Baal. Come and do. Amen. Come and call. And let us see. Let me see where I can jump to. Call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. Hallelujah. The God that answered by fire, let him be God. So we can take the calling on the name of the Lord as prayer. So he will request for prayer. He will request for fire. He will call for fire. And God's ears will be open to it, and he will answer. So there was a confidence with which Elijah spoke. Call on the name of your gods. I will come call on the name of the Lord. Amen. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. Again, if you observe what Elijah said here, he didn't say, call on your God, I'll call on my God, and the God that answers by fire will be God. No, that's not what he said. Amen? It sounds like it, but that's not what he said. What he said was, you call on your gods, I will call on the Lord. Hallelujah. I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that he was describing his Lord, he's not saying the God amongst our gods that answers by fire, he will now be God. The God, the Lord, who answers by fire. So he say, I know him. He's describing him. He's not saying, my God, your God, then whichever God answers by fire, let him be God. No. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. You let him. He is God on this side. You let him. He is the God that answers by fire. I mean, if the prophets of Baal were intelligent and the demons behind them, they will have just retreated. That no, Ojoro, this is foul play. Amen? It's like, what do they call that thing? Where, I'm remembering it in Yoruba, I don't know how else to say it. You know, where they call you to speak on something that you can speak from your sleep, you know, or maybe your strength. Maybe someone has their strength, you have your strength, then you want to wrestle and then say, come and wrestle in my own strength area. Then you have planned to win, that kind of thing. So it says, the God that answered by fire. Okay, that's describing God that he knows. He's like saying, I know God answers by fire. You will now let him be God, because that will happen shortly. Hallelujah. I'm appealing to you to let him be God. Let the God that answers by fire, who is the Lord, be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them and dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 2, you know that you are Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. There was no voice. Baal was silent. Amen?
Amen. And don't forget what we said in 1 John 5:14, that there is a he, there is a him. And that's what Elijah also demonstrated here. He spoke about a being, the Lord God who answers by fire. So it is not about the activity. They cried from morning till noon. Nothing happened. Because they were crying to a faceless God. They were crying to a dumb God, a silent God, a God that cannot answer by fire. Praise the Lord. So in prayer, the confidence to continue to ask, to pray, to call for, to ask that your request be granted, that confidence is because there is a he that answers by fire. Hallelujah. There's a he who answers by fire. And of course, nothing happened. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, "Cry aloud, for he's a god now. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey. Ah, God! Or peradventure he sleepeth. Yea, that's yea. And must be awake. Yea." Their God is sleeping. We need to wake him up. And they cried aloud and caught themselves. Oh, stupid guys. Amen? I mean, it's not their fault. Very unintelligent demons. Amen. Very. They cried aloud and caught themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." Hallelujah. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullocks or the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." My God. And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell, hallelujah, and consumed the burnt sacrifice
and the wood and the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, praise the Lord, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. You know, as a preacher, you must be mindful of what you're doing. Okay? There are those who will lead the people to error. Is the preachers that will suffer for it. The people will receive forgiveness. Amen. Just saying that from here. Amen. I'm not saying any preacher is a prophet of Baal. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Elijah was confident in the God of Israel. Pour water 3 times. And then we'll call on God to send fire. Hallelujah. What confidence. What boldness. What assurance. What confidence. What boldness. What assurance. What assurance. He called on the God of Israel to send fire, and the fire fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. Before the people, they saw it. Amen, amen. They saw it. In 1 Kings chapter 18, from verse 41 to 48, then you find Elijah who said to Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink. There is a sound of abundance of rain." And so Ahab went up to eat and drink. Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and he sent his servant towards the sea to go up to look. And what happened? He saw nothing. And he said, "Go again 7 times. Hallelujah. I know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know that his ears are open to our cries. Hallelujah. I know that he is a God that answers prayers. So go again and again and again and again and again. He will grant my request. He will grant my desire." Hallelujah. He will grant my request. He will grant my desire. He will grant my request. He will grant my desire. You know, like we read in 1 Kings 18 and verse 37, it says, "Hear me, O Lord." Hallelujah. "Hear me. I have a request. Hear me." Now, he's saying, "Hear me," because he knows that God hears his children. His ears are open to the request of his children. Look at what Jesus said in John 11. Hopefully we can finish all of this. John 11 and verse 42. John 11 and verse 42. Jesus goes to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They are sent word to him that Lazarus was sick, and then, of course, eventually died. Amen. And here, Jesus, verse 39, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast, my God, heard me. I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Verse 42. "And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And in verse 43, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, beg your pardon, Lazarus, come forth. You know the rest of the story. Amen. Amen. A confidence in prayer. A confidence in the God who answers prayers. Acts chapter 1. Acts 1. Let's see how much you can. Acts 1:14. Of course, don't forget in Matthew 6 from verse 9, Jesus had taught his disciples to pray. He showed them how to pray. They on several occasions would depart to the mountain to pray. Amen. In Luke chapter 6, while he was being baptized, he was praying. Luke 6:12. And a host of other examples. In Luke 22:42-44, he prayed. Took Peter, James, and John to pray. And he went, the stones cast, and he offered prayers unto God. Okay? So he taught them to pray. He showed them to pray. And in Acts of the Apostles, we began to see a demonstration. Okay? A practice of what they have been taught. They have been taught prayer by Jesus, by precepts, and by example. In Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Okay? Everybody, with the women, Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. In Acts chapter 2, 1-4, when the Holy Ghost came, they were all one accord in one place. Suddenly there came sound forever as a rushing mighty field house where they were sitting. Well, let me just jump to verse 4. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They offered prayers to God in tongues. They offered prayers to God in tongues. In Acts 2:42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continue steadfastly in prayers. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. They had a culture of prayer. They had a culture of prayer, being the 9th hour. The 9th hour will be 3 p.m. Okay, they gathered 3 p.m. at the in the temple to pray. They had a consistent culture of prayer. Don't forget Acts 2:42 that we just read. They continued steadfastly in prayer. Acts 3:1 shows us they had a time of praying. And it was while Peter and John were going into the temple to pray that they healed the man by the beautiful gate. In Acts chapter 4, from verse 23-31, because they had persecuted or forbidden the disciples of Jesus, the apostles, not to preach Jesus, not to teach in his name, not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:18. And so in Acts 4:23, they went back to their own company and prayed. They prayed. They lifted up their voice unto God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why did the Israel and the people invent vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against is Christ, for the truth against thy holy child Jesus, which thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants boldness that with all, grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, hallelujah, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. God answered their prayers, yes? Amen. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, of course, there were murmurings, and this was the response of the apostles. Verse 2, they had said, not a reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In Acts chapter 8, Acts 8 and verse 15, Philip had preached in Samaria, and there was great joy in the city. He preached Christ there, and then there were miracles, signs and wonders, but the people believed the gospel but did not get filled with the Holy Ghost or speak with tongues. And then in Acts 8:15, who, of course, from 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them. Okay, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And of course they did, right? Amen, they did. Okay, and that's what Simon saw, that he began to offer Peter money, and the rest is history. Acts 9 and verse 11. Acts 9, 11. The Lord appeared to Ananias in a vision, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Paul encountered Jesus on his way, on his road to Damascus, and the result of the encounter, or let's say it this way, the encounter left Paul praying. For behold, he prayeth. For behold, he prayeth. Amen. Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Amen, amen. So you prayed. Where are we again? Acts 9 and 40. Of course, that's Peter in the house of Dorcas. They had called upon him. And then Peter went in there. Let me not read all of that. Verse 40. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. Hallelujah. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, did God answer his prayer? Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Acts 10 and verse 9. Acts 10 and 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He went up to pray. He went up to pray. Acts 11 and verse 5. I was in the city of Joppa praying and in a trance. That's what we just read in Acts 10 and 9. I was there praying in Acts 12 from verse 5 to 12. Acts 12, 5 to 12. The king, what's his name again? Is he Herod? Herod had taken James and killed him, and then took Peter to kill him after Easter, or better still, Passover, right? And then from verse 5, the church began to pray. Prayer was made without ceasing, hallelujah, of the church unto God for him. The God who hears, the God who answers prayers, the God who answers by fire, the God whose ears are open to the cry of his children, the God who grants requests, the God who is generous to his children. Prayer was made to him without ceasing. Hallelujah. And did he answer their prayers? Yes, he did. Peter was delivered miraculously by an angel. You see that in Acts You see that from verse 6 to 12. In Acts 13, from verse 1 to 3, certain prophets and teachers, as they gathered together and ministered to the Lord and fasted, then the Holy Ghost said, was that gathering of the prophets in prayer and supplication to God that brought about supernatural utterances that separated Barnabas and Saul unto the work of apostleship. In Acts 14, let's close now. Acts 14, please play softly. Acts 14 and verse 23. Acts 14 and 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. In Acts 16 from verse 13 to 18. Acts 16. I'll just read verse 16. Okay? And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with spirits. Okay? So they were going to pray when that damsel with the spirit of divination began to say that the servants of the Most High God come to show the way of salvation and all of that. And of course, Paul was later grieved and cast out that spirit. In Acts 20:36, Paul was departing Ephesus. Acts 20:36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. He prayed. Notice in verse 32, he has said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. In Acts 21 and verse 5, Acts 21 and 5, and when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore again and prayed. Hallelujah. Acts 22 and verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I mean, you can tell that if you are going to be open to more supernatural encounters, experiences, you give yourself more to prayer. Hallelujah. When Jesus was praying, being baptized, the heavens were open and a voice came from heaven and said, praise the Lord. Jesus was being baptized and praying. Acts 22 and 17. Have we read that? We have. Okay. Acts 28 and verse 8. Acts 28 and verse 8. Because, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. In Genesis 20, I close now. In Genesis 20 and 17, Abraham did the same to the house of Abimelech. He prayed. That's the word palal, P-A-L-A-L, Hebrew word. A word that could mean to intercede for or to make supplication. He offered prayers to God, to the God that he believed in. And the house of Abimelech was healed. Hallelujah. There's a God that answers prayers. I said there's a God that answers prayers. There's a God that answers prayers. There's a God whose ears are open to our cry. There's a God who listens to our petitions, our supplications, our requests. There's a God who answers by fire. There's a God who supplies power.
tremendous power, tangible power to accomplish our desires, our requests. There is a God to whom we pray. Stand to your feet and pray. Let's just stop it here. Just pray. 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 Come on. Pray. 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 Pray.